This is Projayadas Swami Maharaj. The Mayavadis say they got Atma Sakshatkar.
Atma Sakshatkar
or self-realized. Mayavadis claim to be self-realized. So what kind of self-realization they get from this world?
What kind of self-realization do they get from this?
From this world.
This word? This world?
This world.
What kind of self-realization do they get from this world?
Yeah, that's the question.
Mayavadis, they can, of course, understand by discriminating between what is permanent and what is temporary. They can understand that I'm consciousness, that I'm not this body. And that's good. For that much territory, we're in agreement that this material world is not the place for enjoyment, that we're not this body, we're not the mind, we're the eternal Brahma or conscious living entity within the body. Well, that's fine. And there's a certain amount of self-satisfaction. Prasanatma, Brahmabhuta Prasanatma. When one identifies with the soul, it's kind of like relief. For so long I was thinking I was this body. I was thinking that all the pains and pleasures of this body pertain to me. I was thinking I was this, I was that. Now I know I'm not this body, I'm not any of these things. So he gets relief from this material misidentification. Nashochati nakangshati. He no longer has anything to hanker for. He no longer has anything to lament for. Samasarveshu bhuteshu. He sees everything with an equal eye. That's all good. But now he has to go further. Samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. Now he has to take to devotional service. Because otherwise, what do I do on the platform of spiritual realization? Do I just sit here, aham brahmasmi, aham brahmasmi, aham brahmasmi, aham brahmasmi? There has to be some practical activity on the Brahman platform. Otherwise, we fall down. And therefore, we see that people who are supposedly self-realized, great realized souls and so on, after announcing that this world is false and that only Brahman is real, they open hospitals, they open, you know, different institutions for the welfare of the material bodily welfare of the people in general. Now, if the world is false and only Brahman is real, what are you doing that for? What are you doing that for? So they have no practical platform of activity. And therefore, they've only reached the initial stage of self-realization. Now they have to go further. Some satisfaction is there, and it can become their enemy also. You're just like a person who's satisfied in material life. He doesn't make any further progress because he's satisfied. He's thinking, this is nice, I have my wife, I have my children, I have my job, I have my car, I have my this, I have my that. What do I need spiritual life for? So that so-called satisfaction becomes his enemy. Similarly, the satisfaction of the impersonalist, that now I've risen above the material platform, I know that I'm Brahma, I know that I have nothing to do with this world, that becomes his enemy also, because it holds him back from asking, now what do I do? What goes further? What's my next stage in progress? So that has to come.
This one is again for you, Jayadev Swami Maharaj. When we explain spiritual truths by means of an analogy to some people, they say that, why do you give a material example for a spiritual principle? These are totally opposite in nature. They are opposite in nature. Why do you give a material example for a spiritual principle?
Do you have any experience of spiritual examples?
So the question is, how spiritual things can work in a similar way like matter?
You're comparing your wife's face to the moon. Now, how can you do that? Is your wife really, shining throughout the whole sky? You're doing that in your practical, all your practical affairs, or in your poetry you're making such comparisons, in your practical affairs you make such comparisons. Intelligence actually is the ability to compare one thing with another. The maker of Velcro, you know Velcro? Velcro is that stuff in fabric, it has like little teeth and it sticks to one thing, sticks to another thing. So the inventor of Velcro, I'm told, he was observing some plants and how these little thistles become stuck to your clothing. And he thought that, you know, he understood something's going on there. And then he applied it to the world of fabric and became a millionaire. So it's simply the ability to see something in one place and transfer it to another place. That's intelligence. Now, if you're not intelligent, we have a problem. If you can't understand an example, if you can't understand how this situation is similar in some ways but different, that's what an example is. It's something that's similar to one thing in some ways but different in another way. So we understand practically so many things by example. And the example may not be, if it matched in every respect, it wouldn't be an example anymore. It would just, you'd just be a description. So we understand things by example. And why are we using material examples? Because that's where you are. You're not a resident of the spiritual world that I can take something from here and there and you don't understand it yet. We don't take an example from algebra to explain simple mathematics. It's practical. No good example comes to mind right now. You got a good
one? I just want to... Prabhupada uses an analogy to explain why analogies are used. He uses the analogy that if you're looking at the moon in the sky and you want to see how it is moving, you can look for a long time. And it's very difficult just looking directly at the moon. He said, but if you look at the moon through the branches of the trees, then because the branches of the trees are closer to you, you can very easily see how the moon is moving between one branch and the next. So he said, therefore, we also need analogies, something which is closer to our experience to help us understand that which is beyond our experience.
This is for Niranjan Swami Maharaj. When a devotee is initiated, the spiritual master takes responsibility for taking that devotee back to Godhead. If, however, the devotee does not go back to Godhead in that life, how and in what form does the spiritual master come back to save that devotee in the next life, and how does the devotee recognize him?
How does the devotee what?
Recognize his spiritual master.
Well, first of all, once a devotee asks you the Prabhupada that question, said, Srila Prabhupada, if I don't go back to Godhead in this life, you'll come back and get me. And Prabhupada said, yes, but don't take advantage of it. Don't make your spiritual master come back. So, anyways, that in itself is somewhat of an answer to the question. Yes, if one accepts a genuine, bona fide spiritual master, and if that connection is an eternal connection between the disciple and the spiritual master, then certainly the spiritual master is accepting responsibility for that disciple to take him back home, back to Godhead. How will the disciple recognize the spiritual master? Well, how did he recognize the spiritual master when he first met the spiritual master? It was like a question that was already asked. How does one recognize the spiritual master? One actually has to recognize the spiritual master just in terms of how is this person delivering Krishna to me? And one, of course, has to have to some degree some qualification for recognizing spiritual master. That is that one has to at least have a desire to see Krishna. If one actually has a very genuine desire to see Krishna manifest, and is praying, Krishna, please manifest yourself to me through the words of spiritual master, then If one has begun his journey in this life, and Krishna says whatever he has achieved in this life, he will continue and carry to the next life, that next life, that same desire will be there, and he'll recognize in the same way. We're losing.
This is for Makhanlal Prabhu. How can we preach though we haven't realized it? What is the best attitude to assimilate when we read Srila Prabhupada's books? So how do we preach?
Two questions. First you say, how can we preach if we haven't realized it?
Yeah. Maybe then, two questions.
Well, let me just take the first question and reread the second question, please. How can we preach if we haven't realized it? Well, there's two things. There's gyan and vigyan. Gyan means knowledge, and vigyan means the practical application. Everyone, including a newer devotee, first of all, a newer devotee should be trained by more experienced devotees. Because our ISKCON spiritual masters, physically speaking, are spread very thin due to their commitments and working very hard all over the world, 3,000, 4,000 disciples. They can't take you aside and sit down one-on-one and train you personally in Krishna consciousness. So you have to make a commitment to studying Srila Prabhupada's books and hearing and learning from senior devotees how to practice. So vigyan means the practical application. Even if you're a newer devotee, you need to be able to, you apply as you are practicing, just like Krishna Prasadam. Do you really need somebody to tell you if it tastes good? If it tastes good, you experience it. That's a type of vigyan. It's the practical application. You read in the scripture that Krishna Prasadam is very nice. Then you sit down and the cook is good and you taste it. That's a type of vigyan. It's the practical application of what you read in the book. This is a simple example, you know. So in every way, because somebody earlier asked, how do you know whether you're experiencing Krishna consciousness or something? I mean, again, the same example, if you eat something, if it tastes good, then you know it's good. So you have to appreciate, particularly again, comes back to hearing, especially from Prabhupada's books and from senior devotees and from your associates in general, what you are practicing, so you can develop the appreciation, so you can take gyan, the theoretical, and transform it into vigyan, the practical application and the realization, and then realization can also gradually becomes revelation. Even a newer devotee can get realization one after another as you're chanting Hare Krishna, your realization should increase, you're doing seva to the devotees, your realization should increase gradually. If you're hearing and chanting nicely, your realization should gradually increase. So then it shouldn't be so theoretical. If it's too theoretical for you, then maybe you are making too many offenses while chanting the holy names. You see, one must make a conscious endeavor to give up offenses against the holy name. Just like earlier someone asked, how come senior devotees fall down? Why aren't they protected by Krishna? Because they make the primary reason that devotees fall down is Vaishnava Aparad. And Krishna will not, we know from the story of Maharaj Ambarish, Krishna will not protect even a devotee against Vaishnava Aparad. They have to make up for that aparad. That's crystal clear from the pastime of Maharaj Ambarish, that when Durvasa Muni went to Lord Narayan himself, please protect me, he said, I'm very sorry, I can't help you. You have to go back to Ambarish Maharaj. And so he went running back with the chakra going after him high speed, and he fell after his dandavat pranams at the lotus feet of Ambarish Maharaj. So you have to not make Vaishnava aparad while you're rendering service so that you can advance. And then your vigyan, your realization, and ultimately revelation, things will be revealed to you. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivisto, because Krishna is in the heart. Gradually things will be revealed to you if you sincerely practice Krishna consciousness and good association, as the Maharaja has been repeatedly pointing out. Then it won't be theoretical for you. Okay, what's the next question?
What is the best attitude for assimilating what we read from Prabhupada's books?
The first important point is I should know I'm a fool, I'm an ass, I'm an ignorant person, I'm spiritually bankrupt. Oh, Jagaguru Srila Prabhupada, please help me to appreciate, help me to assimilate. You know, the attitude should be, I'm an ignorant person. I'm swimming in the darkness of bodily consciousness. Please help me become enlightened by your transcendental messages and the messages of the previous acharyas and these beautiful shlokas of the pastimes of the great souls, the great devotees of the Lord and the pastimes of the Lord. Please help me to appreciate this. And also it's very important, read with another devotee. Share with it. Be interactive with another devotee. I see a lot of Prabhus here taking notes in these discussions. Taking notes is very good. I would suggest just the key points, not by rote, not just writing out everything, but taking most valuable gem points so you go back and trigger your recollection so you know what you got out of that. You can do the same things while you're reading Prabhupada's books. You can also keep a journal of questions you can ask later in opportunities like this with senior devotees or any devotees. And so you can beg, pray, Bandaman. Everyone here should pray. Everyone should pray to Srila Prabhupada. There's no conflict between your fidelity, your loyalty to your Guru Maharaj, and your loyalty to Srila Prabhupada. Everyone should pray to Prabhupada. Oh, Srila Prabhupada, please help me increase my appreciation. Help me increase my intention. Don't eat too much just before reading. You know, those practical things. Don't eat too much just before reading. Don't wait till 11 o'clock at night so you read three sentences and then, you know, you have to be, there's certain practical things, but it's most helpful if you hear and chant with another devotee, read several paragraphs, and then say to the other Prabhu, so what did you get out of that? And if they say, well, then you say, okay, I think we should read that again. You know? So you bounce it back and forth with another devotee. That will really help you, you know? Okay, thank you.
This is another catch-22 question for Jayadev Swami Maharaj. In ISKCON, when we get initiated, we get a spiritual name. Now, is that name eternal for that individual soul? If not, then how is it spiritual?
Is the name that you receive at initiation eternally associated with you? And if not, how is it eternal? The name itself is eternal, and your association with the Das part is eternal.
One more question for Jayadev Maharaj. Can devotees take painkiller medicines if they are experiencing excruciating bodily pain, or they should just tolerate?
Why don't you ask Visvarup or Giriraj or one of these? These are practical things. It may be required in the course of medical treatment. We have nothing in our Krishna consciousness movement that says you can't take medicine for such and such. These things shouldn't be abused, but they have their proper usage.
The last one, before we end this session, we will have some more kirtan and then Gaurartik. After Gaurartik, we will have the multimedia show prepared by His Grace Jadubar Prabhu. Mm-hmm. So The last one is for Niranjan Swami Maharaj. In the morning we had this lecture about seeing Krishna, understanding how Krishna is a person and seeing him. So the question is, when I take darshan of deities, I can perceive Krishna as a person. But when I take prasadam or I chant the Maha Mantra, I cannot perceive him as a person. So when and how will this be possible?
Premanjana charita bhakti valochadena santaksadaiva hidareshi vilokiyati. When one's eyes are anointed with the salve of love, then one will be able to see Krishna. So I believe the point that Maharaj was making in class is that we first have to learn how to see Krishna through the eyes of scripture, Shastra Chakshus, just like the different examples he gave, where just Prabhupada says that this is how we have to see, we have to learn how to see Krishna everywhere. And then by learning how to see in that way and making the effort, along with chanting the holy name of the Lord, then gradually one will develop the qualification to actually see Krishna face to face. So then one has to be situated in a platform of love. Prabhupada used to quote the verse, Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhavid Grayam Indriyai Sevumukehi Jivados Fayam Evaspuratyada. So Krishna cannot be seen with these blunt material senses. He can only be seen when one's senses are completely purified. So we have to purify the senses, beginning with the tongue, by always chanting the holy name of the Lord, glorifying the Lord, tasting Krishna prasadam. When the senses become completely purified and the extra ingredient of that salve of love, then we'll see Krishna.
Thank you very much, Maharaj. So we would all like to thank you for giving us your wonderful association. So we'd all like to thank all these wonderful souls. His Holiness Srila Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj ki. His Holiness Niranjan Swami Maharaj ki. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj ki. His Grace Makhanlal Prabhu ki.